What a gift it is to hear Jesus speak to us today about prayer in this selection from St. Luke's Gospel. And our Gospel today begins with perhaps what is the most famous prayer of them all, the Lord's Prayer, also known as the Our Father. You may have noticed that Luke's version of the Our Father is slightly different than Matthew's version, or the version that we pray during the Mass, or we commonly say. And scripture scholars tell us it probably reflects slight differences among the different early Christian communities and how they prayed. And eventually, it was Matthew's version that was incorporated into the official liturgy of the church, the Mass, and then became part of popular devotion. That's why we are most familiar with it. St. Matthew's version contains 7 petitions. St. Luke's contains only 5. The Our Father is a prayer that we are so familiar with. I imagine that most of us probably memorized it as children. I was sitting in adoration on Friday thinking about this homily, and I was trying to think back to my own childhood, reach back through the fog of my memory, and see if I remembered actually memorizing the Our Father. I remember memorizing other things like the 10 Commandments and the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, but I don't ever remember sitting down to memorize the Our Father. And it was probably because it was something that I just learned through osmosis. We prayed it every night before I went to bed. We prayed it at Mass. It was just something that I learned because it was part of our daily experience. The Our Father's been translated into every language on the face of the earth. It's common among all Christians, no matter what denomination we belong to. And even amazingly, it connects us with every Christian who has ever lived, and every Christian that will ever live. It's the common denominator of our Christianity. And when something is so familiar, we run the risk of not understanding how important it is. When we are so familiar with a prayer that we can rattle it off without almost even thinking about what we're saying, we run the risk of missing the meaning. So today, I'd like to go through some of the petitions of the Our Father. Now, you could spend an entire day's class or seminar on each of the petitions of the Our Father. Now, I know there's nothing you would love more than to do that with me this morning. What's so funny? Instead of going through all of them, I'd like to take just 2 of them and to go into a little bit of depth about what they mean and the meaning behind the words, and then speak a little bit about the last part of the gospel where Jesus speaks about persistence in prayer. So the prayer that Jesus speaks begins with the word Father, and that immediately should catch our attention. Now, we are used to referring to God as our Father, but at the time of Jesus, it was unheard of. No one would have ever thought to refer to God in such a familiar term. You think about all the pagan religions of the time, all the different gods that people worshipped. You know, all those pagan gods, they were always ready with their lightning bolt to strike you down when you did something wrong. They would never think of them as being their father. Even the ancient Jewish people didn't think about God that way. God was someone very distant from them. Yes, he called the Jewish people to be his family, but still he was kind of distant out of a respect or a fear for him. In fact, pious Jews to our own day will not write down the name of God on a piece of paper. If the paper would get destroyed, they wouldn't want the name of God to be destroyed. So they abbreviate the name of God on a piece of paper. And sometimes they won't even speak the name of God if they're extremely observant. So for Jesus to use the word Father, and not just Father, but a word that is much more familiar than that. More accurately, in our common English, we might say dad or pop. But even still, the word Father demonstrates a relationship. The relationship that he has with the Father. Remember, Jesus is God made man. Jesus is begotten from all eternity by God the Father. He loves the Father back for all eternity. They're in a relationship of love. So he refers to the Father with this intimate name because they have a close, intimate relationship. And when Jesus says, Father, hallowed be your name, he's inviting all of us into that familiar relationship with God. He's inviting us all to recognize God as our Father. Calling God the Father reveals a family relationship. St. John, in his first letter, says, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are." God is our Father. We are his children. We're invited into this intimate relationship. Yes, God is supreme and almighty, and yes, he is separate from us, but yet he cares so much to be so involved in our lives. That's the great message of God, is that yes, he's all-powerful and supreme, but he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. He knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. So in this prayer, this Our Father, every time we say that word, we're invited to remember how close God is to us and how much he desires to be even closer. How much he desires that response of the child to their father. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we might be called children of God. Yet so we are. We live in that intimate relationship. And then we go on through the Our Father and we pray, give us our daily bread. This close relationship that God has with us reveals that he cares about our daily needs. He cares about the nitty-gritty parts of our life. Sometimes we can be tempted to think that God is so distant from us, so supreme, that he couldn't possibly care about the details of my daily life. Yet he does. Give us this day our daily bread, everything that we need to survive each and every day. But as with everything in the scriptures and everything that Jesus says, there's multiple layers of meaning here. We're not just talking about the food that we need to survive in our mortal bodies. When he's tempted by the devil, when he goes out into the desert, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. So God's Word is important in our day-to-day lives. Yes, we need physical food, but we also need spiritual food. And the first part of that spiritual food is the Word, God's Word, contained in the Scriptures. The Scriptures should be a part of our daily lives so that we can be fed, given that spiritual food that we need. The reference to daily bread is also an allusion to the manna that was given to the Jews in the desert. Remember, when they're wandering through the desert for 40 years, God provides them a daily bread. It was called manna. Jesus says that he himself is the manna come down from heaven. He is the bread of life, and that his flesh is the bread that is given for us. So we need God's word in our lives, and we need the Eucharist in our lives, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. We need our daily physical food, but we need our spiritual food. And this is a petition reminding us that we need both. We need spiritual food. And just like our body will survive for a while without physical food, yes, it's true that we will survive for a while without spiritual food. Maybe we'll go on for years, decades, if we don't have spiritual food. But eventually we'll start to fail. That's why we can't absent ourselves from this altar, from the sacrifice of the Eucharist, from the hearing of the word. We do serious spiritual damage to ourselves because we need that food to live. We need the word of God and the Eucharist to live. God's word and the Eucharist are the daily bread for our journey to the kingdom of heaven. So, my friends, so much here for us to keep in mind. There's so much going on every time we utter the words, Our Father, and we pray. And Jesus, in the second half of the gospel, encourages us to persevere in prayer. And sometimes this can be the hardest part for us. We heard about Abraham in the first reading today. That's a wonderful reading. I almost think about children, you know, when they play the what-if game. What if this mommy? What if that daddy? Abraham's doing that with God. What if there's 50 left? What if there's 40 left? What if there's 10 left? He's interceding. He's persistent. Jesus encourages us to have this persistence in prayer. And he says, then he encourages us and says, your prayers will not go unanswered. Ask, seek, knock. Do those things and they will be answered. No ifs, ands, or buts. He says, you will receive. But sometimes we struggle with this. We struggle in those moments when we feel like God is deaf to our prayers, when we feel like he isn't answering. And that's when this encouragement to persistence comes in. I would encourage you, if perhaps you're at a place where you feel like God's not answering some petition or some prayer that you have, to reflect on this part of Luke chapter 11. Ask, seek, knock. For everyone who does that will receive and the door will be opened. Sometimes prayer takes a long time. And that's because God is molding us. He's molding us to be able to receive from him every good gift. So, my dear friends, there's so much that God means to give us. There's so much behind this wonderful prayer, the Our Father. You remember that God is our Father. He cares about us. He cares about our material and our spiritual well-being. And he feeds us with such a wonderful food of his word and of the Eucharist. And what a great gift that is to be able to call God our Father.